Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Across the Park podcast. Apologies, we're not coming to you in the studio this week. It's been a busy week for myself and Colin, and we've just been dining out on the fact that Everton are staying in the Premier League, so we've just not bothered getting in the studio. We'd always prefer to get in there, but as I say, it's been a busy week for us professionally. So coming to you slightly late in the week. You should be hopefully watching this on a Thursday if you're just watching it when it's just come out. If not, you may be watching it on a Friday. I'm still going to try and get a opposition preview for the Sheffield United game tomorrow, but bear with us on that. It might be a little bit too late in the day. But again, first of all, Carl, cheers for coming on again.
Yeah, no problem. Pleasure.
Appreciate it. I'm a little bit jealous with your backdrop, to be fair. You think you managed to record in one of your son's bedrooms, don't you? But it looks the part.
Yeah, it's our Jose's room. It's the office as well. He's got the old gaming set up here in front of me, so that's what I'm working through. But yeah, I do get some general comments on it in the background, you know.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Carl, as I said in the intro there, we're coming slightly late in the week. So first of all, just briefly pick up on the result that we got at Luton on Friday night. I mean, no mean feat, given that there was a hell of a lot on the line for Luton. They put them in some brilliant performances at home this year. Maybe not got the results at times, but there's not many teams in the league that have you know, certainly beaten them comfortably there. You know, each of the top four have had a difficult time at Luton. I mean, how did you feel about, I guess, generally the performance and the results?
I think the performance has been similar across the season, hasn't it? Nothing's really changed in how he's approached the game, but I've just always stuck with the mindset of, like, just do not lose. You know, and pick points up where you can. And I think we got what we expected, really. I think a lot of fans I've spoken to have said, like, you know, we shouldn't be accepting that. And I'm like, well, it is. We are where we are at the minute, and for us to go there, you know, roll back the Chelsea game and previous games, we would have collapsed. But yeah. I think Brantwaite's celebration for a block at the end summed it up. You know, it wasn't pretty, but listen, at we've gone away from home, and we're still on that running or, you know, unbeaten streak for me, and picking points up just again keeps building momentum and confidence, you know, for where we want to go next. And underpinned for me what Dyche basically has said in his past, you know, press conferences, you know, we want to continue with momentum. We want to keep building it. We don't want to roll over now. We're safe. And what we're doing now is obviously in planning for next season.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, actually. We did say in the last podcast that I particularly pointed out that I think these next few games will be pivotal for Sean Dyche's future, really, in terms of how he and his staff, including the players, approach it. Are they going to lie down and be happy with, okay, we're safe, or are they going to try and push on and get more points? And as you say, you point to the Bluff and Brantwaite, the point meant something to the players. And I think the fact that, you know, that we managed to get that point did mean a lot to them players, and hopefully shown that, you know, they are a group that are not just content with avoiding relegation. They want to show, I guess, the rest of the league and the fans that they want to try and push on for next season.
100%, guys, it's a tough place to go for any team, Luton. You know, tight pitch, tight crowd. And if you were to roll back a couple of games before we went on that run, would you have took a point against Luton away?
Yeah.
I would have, 100%. You know, so, I mean, I not the prettiest performances, and, you know, I've given up watching Sky. It's like Liverpool TV. You just constantly hear about, you know, Everton's way of playing. It's effective. It's getting points. And again, if we continue to build from that, then I'm more than happy with it. But a point for me there was like 3 points, even though it was back to all sort of football. I'd still take it, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. And again, good to see Calvert-Lewin on the score sheet again. I mean, I must admit, when we got the penalty, I was thinking, Who's taking this? Because I don't know if you remember when we got the penalty in the game, Dwight McNeil put the ball down on the spot, which was bizarre. Yeah. And you're thinking, well, is he now the designated penalty taker? But whether that was because Calvert-Lewin was still kind of building his confidence, but obviously it doesn't seem to be any issue with Dom's confidence now when he dispatches it.
No, and I'm made up for him. He's got a run of games now where he's getting... There's less pressure on him for the goals. So you're starting to probably see, you know, he's getting a few more scruffy chances in and around the box, and it's working for him. One thing I was impressed with, Dice, and I would never have called the two strikers coming on at that period of the game. Fair play to him. You know, he's seen something and he pushed them back a little bit more, a way of, like, you know, not letting them come on to us too much with the extra midfielder or the extra defender joining in the attacks. But I didn't see that coming. And fair play to him. No. You know, we've judged them, you know, in the past on not having two up front or not being more aggressive. Mm. But, you know, we ain't pretty, but give him his due. He looked at changing and affecting the game to get a result out of it. He wanted to win, you could tell that.
Yeah, without doubt. And we got a few corners late on, and I think that was a reflection of the fact we were able to put more bodies in the final phase and they had to give away corners. And it could have easily went the other way in terms of us getting the win. And as you say, I know we made some, you know, commendable blocks towards the end. But no, you're right. I think, you know, it's tough, isn't it? Like, you know, we spoke about the fact that the players of, you know, Calvert-Lewin, as much as anyone else, Calvert-Lewin's felt the pressure of, you know, them goals, needing the victories, needing the points, needing his goals, you know, having that little bit of a buffer now and going, okay, well, I can go out, I can relax a bit more, I can focus on my game instead of just trying to dig the team and the club out of this. You might now see the best of maybe some of them players. I mean, I think in fairness to the players you've played now, most of them in that group of 12, 13, 14 players have played some part in some, you know, part of the season. And again, maybe it's a chance now for Dice to show, well, as you've just said then, maybe I've got a bit more about myself. If the chips aren't down all the time and we're not always having to skate victories, I can actually show a bit more ambition, you know, in games.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. It caught me by surprise. I would have expected that, but not from away from home. I really didn't expect them to do that at that point in the game. You know, fair play to him. He went for it. It worked. If it didn't work, then you'd be saying, you know, obviously, why have you took another midfielder? But that's football, isn't it? It's quite subjective in that way. But I've got to give him some credit, because the past five or six games, guys, the way he's set them up, he's kept the same team, you know, playing in a similar system. You know, he's trying to, you know, work with that core group of players. What he's gone out to them in the last five or six games, you know, minus the Chelsea game, has been fantastic for me. I think you've got to give him some credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised if he wasn't, you know, I actually haven't seen who the nominations were. I think because the way the month went for Manager of the Month, he probably missed out because of that big defeat at Chelsea. But I think the run is even more incredible given that result, because, you know, sandwich a 6-0 defeat in the middle of any run of games, and it's almost like, well, how are you going to respond to that? And, you know, what have you got about you? And we did respond in the best way possible. And again, I agree with you. I think he deserves some credit. And, you know, I've had moments this season when I have given credit, but equally I've had moments, you know, this season where I'm looking at thinking, you know, is that all you've got? And is there anything else there that can come from you? And he's made comments himself, which I've been concerned about. But yeah, credit where it's due. I think for me, it was a good point, particularly given the circumstances of them needing to win so much and us not needing to win at all. So, you know, brilliant. So onto matters more current and off the pitch, unfortunately, Carl, there's been the last few days, or the last week really, there's been a lot of noise around the takeover, or the lack of progress, the concerns around the financing of the club in the short term. I mean, this time last week, we were facing concerns that we might not be able to meet payroll, that, you know, we're going to miss stadium payments. There was some money paid in by 777 to cover payroll, etc. Since then, you know, Farhad Moshiri, the owner, and I'm going to take some reference from some of the media sources, like the Liverpool Echo, etc., and the fan advisory boards. Since then, the owner, Farhad Moshiri, has tried to seek assurances. I say seek assurances. He's almost had, you know, last minute talks, if you like, now with 777 in terms of, look, well, when's this going to be finalised? Where are we up to? The latest news, if you believe, you know, fairly reliable media sources are that Everton and Farhad Moshiri in particular is looking to pull out of the deal because it's, you know, there's now allegations of fraud over in America, which have been brought by an English finance capital firm. There's also Standard Liège, whose players and staff have been told they're not going to be paid before the end of the season. Again, apparently 777 haven't been found anywhere in terms of them coming up with the funds for that. You know, it's fair to say now that all of the rumours and the suspicions, you know, seem to be the reality that these are Cowboys.
Yeah. Look, how ironic is this? You know, this is where the Premier League do kick in, you know, with the fit and proper guidance and the support for a club. And it probably explains why this deal hasn't gone through as quick as what we thought it would. I'll be honest, there's that much information flowing around on it, guys. I don't know what to believe at the moment. Mm. And until he comes out and be really clear about, look, we're not selling to these because, and we have other suitors who are around and available, you know, to purchase the club. I think that's probably what I'm looking for next in it, because it's littered with concerns for me. And like you mentioned in there, Standard Liège, straight away, that should just put doubt in everyone's mind. These are not right for us, because what are they actually using Everton Football Club for as part of that partnership? And it's to, you know, use the assets to borrow money and spread it across. Where's that going to leave us? You know, and I guess this, what I'm saying with the Premier League, they're doing the job for, in my opinion, for once in the right way, to you know, safeguard the club, you know, from not being further down the line, 6 months down the line of being in, you know, a transfer embargo, staff not getting paid, you know, things getting used with the club that, you know, we'll obviously be horrified with if you listen to the stories across their partnerships, like what they're doing at the moment.
And you know why I agree with you there? And I actually think in this instance, Colin, we might be in the minority, because there's a lot of groups out there, individuals who are criticising the Premier League, who are blaming them for this situation. You know, we recorded the podcast 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I went on record and said, well, this isn't the Premier League's fault. This is the owner's fault. This is the club's fault. This is, we've entered into this agreement, you know, and this, you know, this willingness to negotiate with them and try and bring them into the fold. If the Premier League, now this is the point that some people are making, if the Premier League were just downright turn them down 3 or 4 months ago, we might have been in a worse situation, because there may not have been someone then who kept borrowing us money for the next 3 months to get us through. So just if you are in that camp, just bear that in mind for 1 second. And the other thing, as Colin just points out, the Premier League 6 weeks ago or whatever, it was around that time, Richard Masters, and the letter was shared, Richard Masters shared with our fan advisory board, saying these are the points that we've asked 777 to clarify or to satisfy in order for us to, you know, to allow them to become the new owners. One of the points was to prove that or to pay back the loan to MSB, which hasn't happened. Another one was to put money into an escrow account. And anyone who doesn't know what an escrow account is, effectively an account that sits there that they can't access the funds. It sits there and it's only used for a certain purpose. That money was there to secure Everton's overheads for the remainder of the season, as well as the outstanding stadium payments, and also to you know, assure that there was sufficient funds available to secure the club in the future. They've not been able to do any of those things. And in that period of time, their belief that they might still take over the club has meant that they've still been putting those bits of money in. Now, I guess my question now, amongst all of, as you say, there's a lot of stuff lying around. A couple of questions I've got, really, which might be naive questions, and considers himself to be fairly, like, knowledgeable when it comes to business and takeovers, is what happens to all them loans that 777 have made to us? Like, you know, how are they repaid, and what's the interest on them? I'm sure it'll be pretty high. That'd be something that I imagine that a new owner wouldn't be particularly keen to take on. Is it the Moshiri kind of commits to pay that back when he's paid out of his end? Because it's effectively him that's made the deal, not the club. The second question would be, and this is more of a point than a question. I think that the potential parties that are in the background, I think they're waiting, almost like the, you know, Liverpool's owners did, you know, whatever, 8-10 years ago. They're waiting in the background until as much of that debt has been wiped off or reduced or whatever before they come in and go, right now, well, we'll take them. And it's going to be a very much a waiting game and a bit of a, you know, you're going to have to go right to the wire, I think, for some of these to really stick the heads and above the parapet and go, you know what? Yeah, we're in now, we're ready. Because if you're one of them investors or if you're one of them firms, you think, well, we don't want to be too keen now because we might end up inheriting some of this bad debt. Let's see what the club can do to reduce it, to, you know, to kind of come up with deals, to get right to the point of administration. Then we'll go, right, we're in now. We can get it for 300 million. We can get it for 350 rather than, you know, 300 million plus another 250, 300 million pounds of debt.
Couldn't a game of Russian roulette. I think that's what they're playing at the moment. And I stuck a couple of points down, guys, and probably the way I see it, Triple Seven have been led down the path for me with the view of, like, you can buy this Premier League football club and there's a new a stadium to the value of £1 billion. That's what it's, you know, it's sort of forecasted on, like, that's what it's worth. But I look at all the other points and I think, right, it's a Premier League football club, this, and there's going to be other suitors out there. They're just the first of the table who he's probably got the best deal off. There may be others, like you're saying, who are waiting in the background saying, well, let's see how they react, you know, this season to staying up, you know, let's see how they react to the penalty, the points penalty and stuff like that. Now that's all cleared and if there's clarity on it, I look at the positive spin on it. Brand new stadium, valued at £1 billion straight away. It's got all the state-of-the-art facilities, loyal fan base who got a season ticket waiting list. You know, and there's people who've made a significant amount of money or commitment to season tickets in corporate for the next few years. Again, Premier League football club, so that's going to appeal. So I think it'd be naive as us as fans to think they're the only suitor out there at the moment. Triple Seven, they're only, for me, they're only Mashiri's go-to one at the moment, who he's chose, who's going to get the best deal off. I believe that the MSP and others who are out there, like you've just said, waiting in the background. So I think there's a date in mind with some of them to say, right, you've got this extension to this date. If you can't do it, then it's a little window of opportunity for someone else to come in and go, right, we'll take it. But it's Mashiri then would probably lose more value in his shares, or, you know, in terms of what he'll make from it, basically. He'll have to lose some of that money to a new investor, but he'll be left with a lesser, you know, sort of set of options, scenarios that favour him. But the 777 thing, I think we could honestly sit here and say, now, are we going to accept it as fans? No. So for me, it's already dead in the water. I think the owner just needs to come out and be clear and go, right, it's like selling an house, isn't it? You're being dragged along by someone, but you've got other people waiting who want to make who basically want to put a price in on your house. You just say, well, look, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is the date I need. But he should be opening his view more. Say, well, I'll go whoever gives me the best deal by this date. If not, I've got that period of time to sell it, or I choose not to sell it. It's a good analogy, actually,
because, again, say you're looking to, don't use simple numbers here, say you're looking to sell your house for 100 grand, you're struggling at the moment to pay the bills and to pay the mortgage in the meantime. Someone comes here and goes, right, I haven't got a mortgage yet. I haven't got a mortgage in principle, but I've got about 20 grand there sitting about. So if you just agree to accept my offer of 100 grand now, I'll try and sort my mortgage in the meantime. But in the meantime, I'll also keep paying your bills. So, you know, there's nothing there. There's a bit of a piece of paper, but I've got to still come up with that 100 grand to buy your house. But then you've got a few other people who've got the money there, got the cash, but they only want to pay 90. And they maybe they don't want to pay it until, you know, another 6 months, because they've got assurances that the council aren't going to do any work in the area, or they're not going to build this motorway right through the estate. I think it's a really good analogy. And most people have been through that. Maybe not the first scenario, having this weirdo who's got dodgy guy, the drug dealer off the estate, he's got 20 grand under his bed. But it is like that, well, isn't
I think,
it?
You know, effectively, I think the things to focus on here, guys, like you're saying there, is it's the stadium, the fan base, the commitment of fans through thick and thin. I mean, we've been through thick. You know what I mean? And we've experienced some hardship the last few seasons, but yet we still sell out every week. We've got a season ticket waiting list, brand new stadium around the corner. There's, for me, there is 100% other investors out there looking to purchase Everton. I think what they're waiting for is him to say, this isn't going to happen, and who else is interested?
Yeah, yeah. No, I certainly hope so. But again, like we said in a lot of these episodes, one, we're not the fountains of all knowledge. We're kind of pulling things together. We're probably following our instincts. I think I do tend to agree with Colin. I think there'll be some interesting comments on what people believe the Premier League's role or lack of. Maybe we're giving them a bit too much credit, but I think if you're going to look at it from what we've gained from that delay, I believe we've gained time and we've gained a little bit of maybe interest from other parties. Because again, let's go back 3 months ago or 2.5 months ago to the position the club was in, almost staring relegation in the face, you know, not really having security over who's going to pay the bills for the next few months. You know, it was a much worse situation than we're in now on the pitch and off the pitch. Although we might have some more loans that are payable to 777. But the way I see that again, okay, they've borrowed the club money, but they've borrowed the club money on the basis of an agreement with Farhad Moshiri, the majority shareholder, almost in exchange to go, we're almost paying in advance for some of your shares. So that'll almost just have to be a loan that Moshiri pays off when he gets paid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's the way I see it.
Yeah. I would think so. But as you just said, as you rightly said about 10 minutes or so ago, until we get that clarity from the owner, until we get, you know, parties themselves, you know, stepping up and saying, well, yeah, we are interested and this is what's stopping us or this is the window for us. I do think, and then going back to the lot across the park, they were, if you believe, you know, not only the rumours, but if you believe what Barclays Bank and a few others said, Liverpool were hours away from administration, you know, before they got taken over when Gillette and Hicks were in charge. And it was literally that's how late the, you know, FSG left it before they came in and put the money down because they knew that was the best point to execute the deal for them. So that is probably what we're looking at.
Yeah, we're talking about big investors here. They don't just react like that. They've got everything in place now, you know, with the guidance, with the finance. And it's just literally to say, right, you just do your quick due diligence on all the paperwork. We've hit all the four areas you've asked for. There's all the money in the accounts you needed to see. It's like fast-tracking a sale of an house, isn't it? You know, there you go.
Yeah,
everything's
yeah.
in place. Can you sign and stamp it today? Done. And it's all, yeah. all the transactions are made. I think there's so much more appealing about Everton now, the situation we're in for new investors. Again, it just comes back to him. Why is he blocking others? And has he made a verbal or whatever commitment to 777? But at some point, 777 can't commit to it. So we need to just go, right, well, right, it's not with you. It's going to be with someone else. And this is how me and you are going to see out our differences. When I sell it, I'll pay you back.
Yeah, there must have been, you know, even if it was just a, you know, an agreement in principle and it was a one page or a two page, there must have been some kind of terms and conditions where, you know, he can pull out, as in Moshiri, or Everton can pull out. And one of them surely has got to be if it's not ratified by the Premier League, and it hasn't been, and yeah. they can't satisfy those four criteria. You know, there's no doubt about it.
No, I agree, guys, 100%.
Okay, well, as I say, let's watch this space. And again, the next time we record, hopefully we'll have more news. Hopefully we'll have more owners and owners that are clean and able to take the club forward. Just to briefly, and we have touched on this. Can't remember if it was last week, the week before. And there's a little bit of a hypothetical behind this. New owners come in. They've got a bit of money to spend. Obviously, like any owners, including the Saudis at Newcastle, there's only much they can spend due to, you know, to FFP, etc. Do you keep Deitch or do you look elsewhere?
You know what, guys? Unless you're drastically changing that squad, I think you've got to, because he's got a tune out of them now. And I think you've got to at least give him the full next season to build him. I wouldn't see any sense in changing him now or even mid-season. It would be absolutely pointless for me. But it depends on what he lets go and what he has an opportunity to bring in. Because I think all in all, we've got like 8 players who could leave the club in the summer. What's he going to get to kind of either develop players, bring, you know, young players up and you know, bring players in through the loan system or what we can bargain by at the moment. Because this is the bit where I think he knows the score about. He's got to win as many games as he can before the end of the season, because each place is worth extra money to us, you know, what we can spend. So, like, the Sheffield United game should be a bit of a cup final for me. It's an extra place that we can aim for, £3.5 million added to the budget. You know, that might be another loan or two loans for the season for me, covering the cost of that. So I don't think there'll be much wriggle room. I think he's going to use the old sort of approach that David Moyes did. He's going to have to go into the Championship and middle in there a little bit. But they're inflated prices, guys, you know, some of their better players. But it's more bargain buys, and I think loans, that's probably what's gonna suit us. But what I do know is that if him and Thelwell get it right, you know, we've got a plan now of what we're recruiting. So we can't go out silly, you know, we can't go out buying or bringing players in. Like, no disrespect to Dan Juma, you know, Dele Alli, you know, the likes of those.
We have
to do our due diligence better on the players.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, we as fans now, we can't accept that. You know, we need players who want to come and play for the club, work hard, you know, help us get table or above, you know. But look, you know, if you add them 8 points that Dice has got, we're significantly higher than, you know, mid-table.
We'd
be able to have an extra, I think we'd probably end up with maybe an extra, you know, 10 or 20 million in the budget there or thereabouts. But that could affect the sponsorship deals we get in terms of, like, value, the higher up we go. And, you know, I think it'd be insane to get rid of them.
No, I agree. I guess the only... I mean, look, it depends how significant and how much control Kevin Thelwell does have over the recruitment. So if we're to believe certain people, obviously the director of football and the manager both have to sign off on players, but it's, you know, we won't sign players unless they fit into a certain mould and criteria so we can, they've got sell-on value, etc. If that's the case, it's not the end of the world. I guess the other side of it might be, if we sell, you know, your Branthwaites, your Pickfords, maybe even Calvert-Lewin, you know, God forbid as well, and that's, you know, the best part of 150, 200 million, and there's 100 million to spend, do we then trust Sean Dyche to be one of the key decision makers on how that 100 million spent? And, you know, that's when you start to think, well, is he going to be here for 3 years, for 4 years? And again, it's all hypotheticals. I guess if I was the owner, I'd maybe want to make sure that the two people who are responsible for signing or spending, you know, the best part of 100 million were at least ones that we could see sticking around for the next 3 or 4 years. But again, I think one that I'd probably welcome comments from, I know we've got very much a split in our followers in terms of and subscribers over Dyche fans, people who would like to see the back of them. But if you can consider those two scenarios, let us know what you think. Moving on, and you've just mentioned the Sheffield United game, Colin. You called it. Well, you said you believe it should be a cup final. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, no, I'll be telling you exactly what I'm doing. We're getting flags and flares out, mate, because I think it's the only game this season I've gone to and I've really genuinely looked forward to going to, regardless of the results. It's a good one. There's not many of them in the past couple of seasons that I've done. And I just think, you know, the way he's shown me the last few games is every game's important. We've got to pick points up to get up that table and get, you know, as far up as we can. And it just keeps that momentum going with the squad. And he's showing the squad, basically, look, if you want to be here next season with us, you know, with this club, you know, it doesn't mean now that we're up, you can, you know, we're going to accept not anything less than that level of performance, you know, off the ball or in possession, out of possession, whichever way you look at it. But I would literally go and celebrate the day and turn it into a bit of a cup final for the players, you know, a bit of a thank you as well, but also a bit of an opportunity to showcase us as a club to new investors as well.
No, I like it. Yeah, I like it, mate. And I think, you know, you said thank you there. And you know what, to a certain extent, it's probably due. I think that the last few years, and maybe some would argue this season, the fans have had to dig us out. I think the players have shown some backbone. You know, you look at, again, as we have a few times, that extra 8 points puts us there or thereabouts, 12th. You know, it actually puts us in 13th, but above Fulham, just behind Wolves and just behind Brighton and Bournemouth. I mean, those three or four sides are being applauded for their achievements this season and how well they've done, and you know, and how their managers have done a great job. Yet, you know, Sean's Dyche, as is often the case, you know, it goes with British managers, but particularly managers who are unfashionable like Dyche, is being told that, you know, he's boring, he's this, that, and the other, he's a dinosaur. But I think for the players in particular, you look around at some of them teams you spoke about there, Brighton, Wolves, Fulham, they've all got players in their squads that are being touted as, you know, players of the season and teams of the season and stuff like that. Yeah, none of our players, maybe the exception of Branthwaite, are getting a mention.
Yeah, guys, my analogy with Everton is we're like the West Ham of the middle group. You know, we're kind of, if we had our points back, we'd be up there. But we don't play the nicest football around the teams around us. So all those ones you mentioned, they build from the back, they're expansive. You know, we're not. You know, we don't, whether we have got the players or not, we just got a different style of doing it. And I think we're all, the way we've all been shifted towards this Pep Guardiola style of footy, is that's what we expect now of every team. So, you know, roll back 2 or 3 years, even a little bit longer, none of them teams from like six down plays expansive footy. The coaches who've come in have developed the game and built it. We've just got a manager like West Ham have with Moyes. But, you know, in his own right, he's successful. You know, he's won a trophy. He's kept them up around the European places. I honestly believe it's just an issue of styles of football with that. And what we play isn't nice to watch at times, but it's effective. Because we've picked 40-plus points up minus the ones we've got. With a squad that we've got, which I would probably consider, you know, on paper, far less than maybe some of those teams you've mentioned, like the Brightons and the Bournemouths and Wolves and stuff. You know, we're fighting in the same parameters for me with them. But put the points back on. We've probably, you know, we're speaking Everton differently. Then it'd give the likes of Carragher and a few others, you know, on Sky, something else to kind of think about, because, you know, no one really mentions that about the points, add the points on. It just shows that it doesn't sometimes depend on what style of football you play. You can end up in the same place. It's just what players you've got and how you what you accept as a fan base. But I think we've all been besotted into, you know, big, lovely, expansive football, play like, you know, City. You know, it might work for some, but not for all. And we're one of those, for me, one of the West Hams of that. We're suffering from that a little bit. And I think West Ham fans, you listen to Talk Sports a lot, all they do is the raging about Moyes, and I'm thinking, like, mate, you've just been in Europe for the last 2 or 3 seasons. You've just won the conference. You know, what more do you actually want? Or be careful what you ask for.
What you wish for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unrealistic to say, hopefully this weekend we're looking at a decent victory. If we win by 2 or 3 goals at the weekend, or even by 2 goals, we'll have the best goal difference in the bottom half. We would have the most points in the bottom half if, you know, with the points back, the least goals conceded, won as many games as anyone else. It, you know, the only metric you could measure that we're not better than anyone else in would be goals scored. But then it's, you know, football is about points, and it's about accumulating points in whichever way you can with your, you know, with your group of players, your style of football, etc. So, yeah, I mean, it's very much been, and I said this before, and this is not criticising the fans who have not been satisfied with Dyche and the style of football. I see it. I get it. But, you know, you're either a glass half full or a glass half empty person in that respect. And I'm not saying to all you are all negative for thinking like that. It's just your perspectives, isn't it? And which way you're going to look at it. But in context, given what I've just said, then it could end up being a remarkably good season on the pitch.
I mean, if you roll back to the time before we got the 10-point deduction, and someone said to you, right, you're going to go through all this adversity, you know, the football's going to be, you know, not the best, you're going to have extra points taken off you, but when you get to Sheffield United, you're going to be safe by X amount of points, and, you know, would you take it? I don't know any Evertonian who would say anything different than, 100%.
11 points. That game. 11 points, crazy. 11 points clear of the drop zone, 11 points, given that, like, you know, again, 5-6 games ago, we were neck and neck with Wolves and Luton, and it was a toss-up between the three of us.
Yeah, as I say, guys, I mean, you know, games, you know, got goals win games, I get that. But, you know, sometimes performances affect, you know, the way fans see the games. But I'd go back previously to, you know, I think it was the West Ham game when we lost late in the game. Mm. And, you know, there was something just missing with goals at the time. I get it. But, you know, since that West Ham game, the change in like, you know, management and atmosphere and everything else, I think we're probably up in the top four, aren't we, for games won and performing, you know, overall. But I guess for me, again, I just roll back to, you know, if someone offered me this at the start of the season, pain, you know, all the way through the year, watching craft footy, the way it's played, but, you know, it wasn't most appealing. You get to, you know, quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup or whatever it's called, the League Cup. I would have took it 100%, given the fact that I had no money. We had a really thin bare squad, no money to spend on players. What they brought in, you were like, really? You know, I'm not really sure whether that's what we need at the minute. You know, and it's only now you can factor all that in and say, actually, do you know what? He's done a really good job there. But all them weeks we've had to have that uncertainty. You're thinking, you're questioning all the time. You know, I can't see what his plan is. I don't really see the players clicking. Fair play to them, mate. The last five or six games, bar the Chelsea game, mate, they've pulled it out massively.
Yeah, they have, 100%. So looking ahead to the Sheffield United game, any players in particular you'd like to see come in? You know, do you want to see the same lineup? You know, what? How would you approach it? Or how are you hoping he approaches
I'd go as close to the team who played Liverpool at all. I'd go as close to that as we possibly could. And you know, Sheffield United be dangerous to play Saturday because they've got absolutely nothing. They'll relax, you know what I mean? But I think Sheffield United will create. They did on the weekend. I think they'll score, but I think they'll concede a few as well. You know, and it's about us making the best of our set pieces because we won't be as creative, you know, in the final third. But I think we just got to draw them out and make mistakes and play a more counter-attack, guys. I'd like to see that style against Liverpool, against them, because I think it'd be really effective. Then if we could go a goal or two up, you'd start to see a bit more creativity from certain players, and he can change, you know, certain players in wide areas and in the striker's position. But I'd like to go as strong as you can and see where it takes us.
Yeah, completely agree. Prediction?
2-1.
2-1?
Yeah.
Okay. 2-1. I'm gonna go 3-1. I agree with you. I do think they'll score, but I think we might be a couple of goals up before they do score, and I think maybe a few changes. And I'd like to see Beto come on and score. You know, just something about him as a person. Obviously, he's been a bit of a car crash at times, but you know, you get pure application from him. He's a proper throwback, terrible touch and all that, but. He's put a few shifts in the season. I think he hasn't got the look of the green at times. There's been a few chances that have hit the post, and you know, he's been in the right place at the right time quite a lot, but hasn't quite got that bit of luck in some of the games, which I guess is a reflection of us as well. I do believe at the same time, though, if he'd have had as many minutes as Calvert-Lewin has, I'm not saying he's a better player than Calvert-Lewin, he'd have probably scored more goals.
Potentially, I wouldn't mind seeing him coming off. Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I guess, you know, that's the flexibility he's got with that now. If he can try that, I'd like to see him with Gomez. I keep saying it every week. You know, I'd like to see what he like him and Schmitty with Gomez in there. Mm. But it's every time he's made a sub, Dice, it's Gomez off and it's one exactly of the two. I'd also like to see if Lewis Dobbs is available. You know, if he's if we can get one or two of those younger lads in there on the subs bench for Saturday, I think that'll be good for the fans to give them a welcome into the sort of the start of 11. Look, I'm positive. I'm it's probably the first game I'm going to make quite relaxed about it. I mean, I've got me flares. I have to be careful the clubs don't find out with the pyros and stuff. But, you know, we've got the flags. The kids have got the share things and.
Class.
You know, I just would turn it into a bit of a party atmosphere. I just hope the clubs don't miss the opportunity with it as well. Get the flags out, get everything singing and dancing, you know what I mean? And for the first time in 2 years, I think it'll be a parade, you know, around the pitch. You know, we can enjoy it. Because I can't
it'd be nice.
I've done that.
No, definitely. It's either being like the parade's been taken over, hasn't it, by people invading the pitch a couple of years ago. And then last season was just very much, well, thank God that's over and let's get out of here. I'm just reading, sorry to burst your bubble, Colb, I'm just reading that it's 99% unlikely that Lewis Dobbin will play. I mean, it says he's unlikely to start another game, which I think is fairly obvious. I think if he does come on, apparently the word is that he needs some bounce games, he needs some games in the 23s and whatever before he plays, you know, a fully competitive game. But maybe he's on the bench just to kind of, again, give him that recognition of the fact he's been around the first team and he's, you know, he's contributed somewhat this season. But I agree with you, it'd be good to see him. And because I think a lot of the fans will be starting to look, as we have on this episode, at, you know, who are we going to see more of next season? Who's going to be around? Yeah, who have we got next? I mean, even given what Lewis Warrington some minutes, you know, he's sat on the bench a lot. Must be frustrating for him. Big Blue and spent a lot of time out on loan. There's been opportunities, I think, where he could have got minutes. As I've said a few times, he hasn't got them. Be a nice touch and maybe bring a few of the local lads on if we're in a comfortable position in the game.
Yeah, no, I've missed him out there, Louis. I mean, I've mentioned him in the last few weeks. You know, if he's going to be on the bench, you know, put him on the bench with a view of using him. You know, give the kids some minutes. You know, let him. Goodison on Saturday will be a different environment for those players. And to give him, you know, minutes even towards the back end of the game. You know, he's going to get a great reception off the fans, and then he's going to build that confidence himself. And you know, if Dyche wants to use him moving forward, what a test! You know, what an opportunity really to put him in there, Saturday. But no, like I say, guys, I'm quite happy and buzzing. I mean, one thing to point out, it could be Coleman's last game. You know, at all.
Oh, of course,
On Saturday, that'll be difficult life for him and emotional and stuff. And you know, I mean, I would imagine he probably maybe mentioned something around that. You know, Saturday or closer to the game. Because I know his contract situation's up, but you know, we might see the elusive Dele Alli on the bench. You just don't know, do you? You know,
it is interesting.
You can tell by the way I'm speaking about it. I'm looking forward to it, guys.
Yeah, it's I know what you mean. It's a different feeling, isn't it? It's a different feeling of excitement and buzz. It's not like, come on, we need to win this. It's like, well, okay, well, what are we going to see here? And again, we could see a different side to not only the team, but as you've said, the manager as well. But yeah, looking forward to it. Both of us hoping and expecting us to win. Hopefully we do deliver the goods. But again, thanks to everyone for tuning in. Apologies if you're in the studio, but you know, we'll be looking to get in sooner rather than later. I know Millsy's looking to come back into the fold, but don't worry. The big Colin fans, you know, we've got a lot of them. Colin will be sticking around, hopefully. We haven't scared them off. We'll have some bits over the summer. We've the last few summers we put out like a bit of a series of, you know, a bit of a theme just to get people through the summer. I know Millsy's working on something behind the scenes in relation to that as well. So that's something for you to look forward to. But again, thanks everyone for tuning in. Looking forward to this weekend. Everyone who's going to the game, please enjoy it. Like Colin says, bringing the kids, bring them along, make it a positive atmosphere, make it a positive environment. You know, thank the players, thank each other for it. What's been an incredibly tough season. Hopefully, one of the last like this that we'll see in some time, if we're lucky. But no one ever, they'll have something else up the sleeve. But as always, up the Toffees.
Up the Toffees.